Vayera Elav Hashem Be'elo Neimamre V'hu Yoshev Pesach O'el Kachom Hayom.
Yes,
so the Torah begins a continuation from last week. Last week we know Avram Avinu had a bris milah, a circumcision, and now he is recovering. As we know, it's the difference between a major surgery and a minor surgery is it's a minor surgery when it's happening to you, it's major when it's happening to me. In fact, when I was in the hospital for kidney stones, so there was a guy, an elderly gentleman, I'm guessing he was over 70, I don't know, and he was in a lot of pain. And I asked him, what are you in for? He said he just had his circumcision. I'm not exactly sure what it was a medical procedure or what, but clearly I thought of Avram Avinu when he told me that. So Avram Avinu is even older, in the 90s, and he's recovering from his bris milah, which is a major surgery, especially at that age. In fact, that's a whole discussion in the poskim, whether is pain considered an integral part of the milah? In other words, is pain like coincidental, like the mitzvah is to do a milah? That's just the way it works. If you cut that area, it's going to be painful. Well, they say no. Part of the mitzvah milah, inherent in the mitzvah milah, is what's the practical difference? The practical difference is you can mute, because I'm hearing too much noise in the background. So what is the practical difference? Whether you can use anesthetics or not? Could I use painkillers? In other words, so you have a whole discussion. Number one, going under general, that's a much bigger shiloh because you're not awake. So someone would say, how usually it's a convert who's getting circumcised later in life, but doesn't have to be, but that's who it usually is. So they talk about how is it right that a convert, he's going to enter the sanctity of Avram Avinu and he's going to be asleep when it happens? So some poskim, you know, don't like the idea. You don't know what's going on. Is it mitzvah striches kavana? Do you need that? That's a whole discussion whether many are against general, period. But there are, some will say even general, you have the whole gamut. You have some will say even general on a convert, adult convert. And others say you can't even do topical on a regular. So the general consensus is that we try to avoid general unless there's no other option, you know, too painful. However, most assume that you could use topical. In other words, we don't assume like the Imre Yoshi or Rav Arek, who claims that we assume it's like childbirth. It's not that a woman has to feel pain. We believe in giving, if a woman wants to take the drugs, she could take the drugs during childbirth to alleviate the pain, even though, because that was a curse. It wasn't like, there's no mitzvah to feel pain. So too by Migo, we don't, that's the debate whether you have on one extreme it's essential, and in fact, and it's just by Mila, because some say Mila, if you're entering the Jewish people, so one of the reasons why Mila is first is we want to make sure the ger is serious. We want to make sure, so if he's not serious, he's not going to do the Mila. So the Mila is more like a meta, besides the halachic necessity. But so they point out that Avram Avinu, he says because of the pain, he got double reward. So people want to say, look, we see the importance of pain. Others say, no, it's just a midas chasidus. It's a pious act. But that's the whole discussion. So you have different sheets, but the bottom line is We generally try to avoid general anesthesia if possible. But in general, local anesthesia, for those who are against any, would say no. But generally, as long as you have to speak to your doctor, like some doctors say it's not medically sound. So obviously, if it's going to be a problem, you don't put it on. But assuming medically it works and it can alleviate the pain, we generally assume that it's okay, that you don't have to specifically feel the pain. It's just more, that's just the way it is, you know, in terms of that. So he was recovering from his circumcision, and that age, very painful. So what does it mean by Yar Elov? It says, Hashem appeared to him. Why was God appearing to Avraham? So Rashi tells us, Levaker es hachole, to visit the sick. The best medicine, the mitzvah of Bikur Cholim. That's my topic this Tuesday at Shalom this coming week. The best medicine, the mitzvah of Bikur Cholim. So Avraham came, so God came down to visit Avraham. And in fact, that's what the Gemara in Sota tells us. The mitzvah of Chesed is to emulate HaKadosh Baruch Hu. This, like, he does chesed, I do chesed. He visits the sick, we visit the sick. He helps in the burial, we do burial. So that's what we learn now from HaKadosh Baruch. So God was doing the mitzvah of Bikur Cholim. And that's what he was doing. And he said, Shaul Bishlomo, he asked Avraham, how you doing? How's everything going? So, and what happened? And what do you mean, Be'elo and they Mamre? He was on the plains of Mamre. Who is Mamre? Why does Mamre get special mention in the Pasuk? So Rashi again tell us, why does he get special mention? Hu shanasan lo eitza al hamila, because he gave Avraham advice about the circumcision. Lefichak, therefore, Nigla alav bechelko. Therefore, since he gave advice to Avram about the Mila, so therefore, in his honor, he gets special mention. And of course, the obvious question is, maybe we'll get to today, maybe we won't, is, what do you mean? It's one thing if your friend makes a suggestion, so then, or your doctor, you'll go for a second and third opinion. But if God tells you what to do, like, well, God says, get a meal. Hold on, God. Hey, Mamre, what do you think about this? Like, what's going on here? So there are a famous question, many answers. Maybe we'll discuss them. And then I'm just going to finish off the rest of the Pasuk. That will be enough. It won't, in fact, it will be too much. We won't even cover everything, but let me... The Pasuk says, so he was God in the middle of Bikur Cholim. So what happened? Well, it's the second Pasuk, and it was very hot. God made it. There was no visitors. And he lifted up his eyes, and he saw three angels looking like people. Evayar, Vayaretz, Lekrasim, and he went to meet them, etc. Okay, so he did the mitzvah of Hachnosos Archim. He did the mitzvah of entertaining guests. So we see God was doing Bikur Cholim, God to Avraham, and Avraham was doing Hachnasas Archim. And in fact, from this incident with Avraham, the Gemara tells us, Gedola Hachnasas Archim Mikabolas Pnei Hashchina. Greater is entertaining guests than speaking to divine presence. Because Avram, in the middle of speaking to God, he said, God is, wait a second, I got to go take care of the people. So from here we learn out that he's right. The question is, of course, is how did Avram know that? Who taught it to Avram that he was allowed to, it seems like chutzpah, the three Arabs in the desert, three strangers you don't know, and you're going to, in the middle of speaking to God, you're going to leave God and go take care of someone. So we learn it out from Abraham. So that's how we know it. But how did Avram know it? Is it common sense? I don't know. Is it logical to leave God and to take care of the three strangers? So I heard a pshat from one of my rebbeim, Rav Nissen Alpert, Zatzal, Talmud Muvak of Rav Moshe Feinstein. So he explains as follows. You know how Avram knew it? Who's the best teacher? HaKadosh Baruch Hu, God. God taught it to him. But we don't see God teaching it to him. Where did God teach it to him? So Rav Alpert explained as follows. I think Rav Soloveitchik also has a similar explanation. Because we know one of the Yud Gimel Ikarim, one of the 13 tenets, and in fact, the Rambam's opinion is that there are 13 Ikari Amun. Every Jew has to believe in the 13, his 13 principles of faith. Rav Yosef Albo, who is a big philosopher as well, he says there are only three pillars of faith, not 13. He says that's his name in the book is Rav Yosef Albo Sefer HaIkarim or Sefer Ikrim, which is Iker, like the primary. So he says
principles.
Yeah, principles, Iker, primary, yeah. So he says the Rambam confused the branch with the, you know, with the roots and stuff, with the main part. In other words, there are only three karim. There are only three roots and the other one are like branches. They're important, but they're not the karim. So there's a whole debate on Rav Yosef Albo and the Rambam. We'll get into it another time. We'll hear back from Rav Yosef Albo. It was a very popular sefer years ago. It's not so popular today because it's small print. And he has long shtickles, long articles. So today people don't like looking and people don't have the patience more than like 20 seconds. So if it's a long piece, back in the day, he was one of the main Peirushim on Chumash. You know, people use, and I think I vaguely remember, this could have been the first Sansino book that one they put in, that they did, because that's how popular it was. Maybe, I don't know if they had it in English or not, or Sansino maybe was in another language at that point. You know, we're familiar with the Sansino Talmud, but this is a very important book. So throughout the year, you'll be hearing me quote Rav Yosef Albo a lot. He lived after the, you know, Spanish philosopher. You know what?
Oh, I was going to say, roughly, when was he, did he publish?
What?
What century, when did he live?
I think about after the Rambam,
okay.
Well, how much of it might have been 100 years? You know, he's but he.
What is the book called?
Well, the book is called the Sefer. He has many books. One book is the Sefer HaIkarim, where he argues on the Rambam and says there are only three pillars. The rest are the other ten are important, but they're not pillars. I meant to say. His sefer on Chumash is the Akedas Yitzchak. That's the long shtickle. So he goes, he has a beautiful thing on this week's parasha. I don't know if we'll get to maybe another time. But he points out as follows. So one of the Ikarim of the Rambam is we have to believe, well, that the Vuas Moshe Rabbeinu, that we believe Moshe is the greatest prophet ever. In fact, that's one of the, you know, like other religions believe in their prophets. We have to believe in we don't believe he was the first prophet. Avram was before him and Yitzchak Yaakov, but no one can reach his level. And why is that so important? What's that happened to like Yitzchak better or Yirmiyahu? Or if I thought Avram was on a higher level, like why is that so problematic? So the reason is because it's to ensure that the Torah never changes. In other words, if Moshe Rabbeinu wasn't the greatest prophet, so great. So someone will come along a year later, 100 years later, and say, you know what? God came to me and he said, let's get rid of Shabbos. Let's get rid of, if I'm greater than Moshe, so what do I care what Moshe had to say? You listen to that other person. So basically, anyone who changes the Torah by definition is a Navi Sheker, is a false prophet. And that's why by definition, all the other, you know, like all the other religions, you know, they're false because they're coming to change, you know, change. All the religions believe that God gave the Torah to Moshe and to the Jews on Har Sinai. They just claim that we got rejected because we sinned afterwards and he gave it over to someone else. They don't necessarily disagree that we got the Torah on Har Sinai. So, and in fact, that's what's unique about the Jewish people, that we got mass revelation. Every other religion started from an alleged prophecy. By alleged, I mean one person claims he got it. In other words, I'll give you a parable, a mashal. There was a father who was a billionaire, and he had business, and he had two sons. And whatever the reason is, whatever the hypothetical is, and the father died, and there was no clear instructions in the will who gets to take over the business, and there was only one son could do it. That was the case. So they're fighting over who should take over the business, the two sons, the two brothers. So one morning, one brother says to the other one, you know what, it's all worked out. You'll never believe what happened last night. Daddy came down to me in a dream and he said, it's my business. So is that going to be satisfying to the other brother? I don't think. The brother says, if Daddy wanted me, he would have told me also. So if God changed his mind, he would tell us about it also. That's our feeling on the matter. So either way, so we believe Moshe Rabbeinu's prophecy was the greatest of all prophets. And he was able to speak to God face to face, so to speak. All the other prophets only saw it through Nevuah, through like they're in a dream, they were half asleep. So the only one to have clear prophecy was Moshe Rabbeinu. So every time Avram spoke to God, it was like cloudy, it was vague, it was in a dream, it wasn't like the same clarity. So all of a sudden, he's in the middle of speaking to God. God came down for Bikur Cholim. So usually everything's in black. I don't see nothing. When I'm speaking to God, everything's blacked out. I'm in a dark room or whatever it is. I don't see anything. All of a sudden, it's dark and the light bulb goes on. And I see a picture. Avram sees a picture of three people coming his way. So Avram's thinking, what's going on here? Avram's nobody's fool. Up until now, I've spoken to God many times, and it's always pitch black. All of a sudden now, in the middle of speaking to God, I see a picture of these three strangers coming to me. God must be telling me something. He must be telling me, if he's showing me the strangers, I better go take care of them. So how did Avram know it from? He learned it from God. We learned it from Avram. We learned Gedolah Hachnasas Archim from Avraham, but Avram learned it from the original source, from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So that's how they explain. And Jeff.
Yeah, look, I don't get this. Look, you see, Avram saw a picture, clear picture of the three Arabs coming towards him, but it's not clear from the text. He just looked out the window and saw them, you know, out of the door. Sorry, he saw them in front of him. He didn't see them in a vision. He saw them in real life.
Yeah, exactly. I'm agreeing. He saw them in real life. He didn't see anything. Now all of a sudden, he looked out of his tent and he saw these people coming.
But I mean, he saw them coming because they were coming. I'm sorry, I don't know if I'm clarifying. He saw the vision, it was them.
What do you mean vision? I said, when Avram's in a state, he couldn't see anyone. When he's had a nevuah from God, he sees nothing.
Oh,
you're blinded. Yeah, so therefore, no one could see anything. So all of a sudden now he starts seeing something in the middle of his vision. So therefore, he sees the real people, but he doesn't see any. He never would see anyone. Everything's blacked out. So therefore, he says, God must be sending me a message here. The message is, he must want me to... And the Gemara says, Gedola hachnasus archem. It's not, in other words, it's, how do you get to know God better? So what are we saying, Gedola hachnasus archem? That you get to know God better by doing acts of imitation, not by talking with God. That's also a nice thing. But the ultimate to grow is when I do actions of God doing chesed, I'm going to learn from him, I'm going to do chesed. So gedola, how do I become more godlike? By doing acts of chesed. And that's what Chazal are telling us, that doing acts of chesed is even greater than just speaking to God, because when you help out people, you're getting plus two. You're making God happy, and you're helping other people, Jeff.
Is it Yosef Alba that you're quoting now?
Nope. The first I was quoting Rav Nissen Alpert on the first part, with the Nevuah. The first, and then I was just saying the second part. Why? What's your question?
I thought what you're just telling us is just that we must become more like God. I mean, it's more important to imitate God than to talk to him. It's a higher level. Is that Rabbi Yosef Alper? Is that what he said?
It might be. It might be. I can't confirm it.
Okay, where did you get it from?
I probably got it from. I had a Rebbe of mine who used to say, no one has chidushim, no one has their own new things. It depends how good your memory is. Some people remember where they got it from, some people think they made it up. So I'm not sure where I got it from. So I'm not going to say it's my own, I don't remember where I got it from, but you know, it's...
Can I ask a small question on this subject, though? When Abraham sees the three visitors coming, he knows that he must do something, but what he actually does is quite extraordinary. It's much more elaborate than just simply saying, oh, hi, hello, how are you? He actually goes to great lengths. Is it understood that that's also part of the message that God was implicitly giving him by sending these three people to
him? Absolutely. What's the point? Say hi, how you doing? Get lost. They're in the desert. They have no food. They're starving. So I 100%. The whole point was, and in fact, see, hachnasis, real hachnasis archim, we don't really have it today, is actually people who don't have any food, people who don't have a place to eat for Shabbos. You know, we invite friends over, people, and it's also a mitzvah. I'm not downplaying it, but I'm saying, but real hachnasis archim is when a person actually needs the help. Same thing with bikur cholim. You know, we go to the hospital and visit, but back in the day, it wasn't just going to visit, it was actually helping with the medical, you know, helping with the physical care of the, you know, of the cholim. So, again, to the different levels, but yeah, but that's as Henry's pointing out, that basically Avram went all out. He brought them, you know, ribs, potatoes, wings, the works. And in fact, that's why they point out, it says, Yukach na ma'at mayim. So the question is, why was Avram so stingy with the water? If he was so, he gave you all the ribs in the world, all the wings you wanted, all the potatoes, all the cake, all the coleslaw, whatever you want to add on. It was unlimited. It was like a buffet, I guess, before COVID when they still had buffets and stuff. And yet when it came to the water, he only gave you like a little sip of water. Like, what's going on here? Like, why is he so stingy with the water? Huh?
Yes. Because somebody has to fetch the water, and you mustn't be a tzaddik on somebody else's cheshbon.
Right, so very good. So we'll see. Before I get to Rev Alpert, I'll tell you something from the Chafetz Chaim, and then we'll get to Rev Nissen Alpert and elaborate on that. So Rav the Chafetz Chaim says there's two parts to the mitzvah of Hachdosis Archim. There is the mitzvah of Kabdehu, you should honor your guest, V'chashtehu, but you can't be naive. Again, if you bring strangers off the street, you can't just leave them in the office, leave them in and come back and all your silver is gone and your house is, they bring the U-Haul truck. You can't be naive. So you have to, so some people, they need an FBI report, CIA, they got to get, make sure you take a police record before I have you in my house. So some people focus on the chashteya. So you got to do both. But the ikker has to be the kabdehu. And that's why, so Avraham spent most of his time giving him the food, the good stuff. So what does the water have to do with the chashteya? Because Chazal tell us that during the days of Avraham, people worshipped the earth on the floor, the dirt. So therefore, people came in, he gave them water to wash off their feet to get the Avodah Zarah out of his... So I don't know if you're an idol. Yukach da ma'atmayim. When it comes to chashteyu, okay, I have to cover myself. Just in case, you have a little water to wash off your feet. So when it came to the suspecting him, that very minimal. But when it comes to the chabdehu, that's the ikker. Of course, you have to take precaution, but that shouldn't be the main thing. That you do it. If you have to take that many, maybe you shouldn't have that person. But normally, you take regular precautions, but the ultimate is to be able to honor the guests and treat them and give them the proper food. That's the Chafetz Chaim. Rav Nissen Alpert said, he's telling us a general rule in Chesed, a general rule in follow Avram around and learn how to become a mensch. So as it's not today where you go to the kitchen, you turn on the water faucet, and that's it, water's here. The wells could be a block away, a mile away, many kilometers, I don't know. And then you got to schlep the water. So what does Rashi say? Yukach na ma'ayim. So Rashi says he sent it ayidei shliach. He sent a messenger out. It's a discussion who it was. Maybe Eliezer, but he sent a messenger out. By the food, Avram and Sarah were doing it directly. So if I'm involved in the chesed, I got to go all in. Every chumrah, every hiddur, I'm going to do the best I possibly can. But if I'm telling someone else to do a chesed for me, then don't become it. Everyone becomes a tzaddik at someone else's expense. In other words, you know what? I have a great idea. Why don't you go to the airport at 4 a.m.? I know there's someone coming in. He'd love to get picked up at the airport. You're right. If you want to go in the car, it's a mitzvah. You go ahead and do it. But if you're telling someone else to do stuff, as Rabbi Yisrael Solanta used to always say, what's a tzaddik? A tzaddik is someone who cares about his own ruchnius, his own spiritual fear, but his friend's gashmius, his friend's physical state. I know many people who have it all wrong. They care about their physical state, but they're worried about everyone else's spiritual state. That tzaddik is the opposite. In other words, the point is, when it comes to chumras, to piety, you can do whatever you want. But when it comes to someone else, it's not your job, it's to take care of them. Don't worry how from they are. You make sure they're taking care of their needs, bikur cholim, and then we'll worry about the other stuff later. And therefore, that's what Avram's teaching us. When it comes to chesed, you have to go all in. But if someone else is doing it for you, then you do the minimum. In fact, that's what they say. Pshat over, we find an apparent contradiction in Avraham's behavior. That when Avraham was involved in many kings with Sodom and Paro, so we find two different approaches. One time, Avraham was very happy to take the booty, to take gifts from the king. I think it was Paro. He was more than happy to take everything. Yet when it came to Melech Sodom, he said, "What?" He said, "I'm not taking anything. I don't want people to say that Avraham, that I want them to know God made me rich, not you made me rich. I'm not taking anything." So the question is, how come when it came to Paro, he took it, and not only did he take it, it seemed like he wanted it. And over here, he wouldn't even take it. Like, what? So what's going on here? So there are many answers. But one answer is that, as well as, there's a principle of Sone Matonas Yechya. There's a principle, there's a person should hate getting gifts. In other words, it's an act, of piety, not to be beholden to someone or other reasons. You don't, generally speaking, you want to be a giver, not a taker. That's a good midah. You'd rather be giving people gifts than taking them or helping people.
Yes.
But so that's true. So someone offers you a gift. So if you're wealthy, you're taken care of, then great. No, thank you. God will make me rich. I'm not taking anything. So this time Avram was already wealthy. He already had all the money, all the gold and silver. So he said, no, thank you. But in the beginning of his journey, he wasn't wealthy at all. In fact, because we know, because Rashi tells us that he stopped off on the inn and he stayed. He didn't have enough money even to pay the guy. He took out a loan. He took out some debt. And it shows also he went back to the, even when he had, even though, you know, you stay in Motel 6, but once you become a millionaire, you go to the Marriott or the Hilton. Avram taught us Derech Eretz. He went back to the home. He says, he's the person who took care of me then. I'm going to go back to him then. But the point was, he owed that person money, and he went back. And so he says, so let's go see. Paro says, you know what? Let's say you owe $1,000 in debt. And you do someone a tova. Here, you know what? Here's $1,000 check for you. So Sone Matonas Yechya. It's an act of piety not to take a gift. Yeah, that's true. But the Mishko, but you owe someone $1,000. You can't pay. If you don't take the money, don't be a tzaddik at someone else's expense. So Avram says, I need the money now. I'm a baal chov. I owe money. I have to go ahead and pay back. So therefore, if you're a baal chov, you take the, don't play Sone Matonas Yechya. And say, you know what? I'm not going to take any gifts. So therefore, that was the difference. When he owed money, he took it, because that's the chiyuv. I have to pay someone back. I can't. But once I had the money, I don't need it. And therefore, and as well, that's, and in fact, that's what.
Sorry, he owed the money from his first visit to Paro.
Yeah, he owed money from before, and so therefore, when he offered the money, that's why he had to take it. He can't be worried about, you know what people might think, you know, you can't go into Midas Chasidus when you have a, and in fact, there's an unbelievable Maizos of Yaakov saying the importance of this. Rav Yaakov, I think it was the 1970s, when mezuzahs, before you had the official stam, so there were many people who found out they got taken for a ride. Their mezuzahs were in kosher. They had comic strips inside, other things. It wasn't good. Now things are much better. So they had a big gathering in Muncie to address it, and they all spoke, and Rav Yaakov Kamenetsky spoke at the end. So he says, yeah, I agree with everything that was said tonight, but I'll have to take issue with one thing one of the rabbis said tonight. One of the rabbis said tonight, you know what? For those who, let's say, can't afford, you know, you need 20 mezuzahs in your home. There's a gemach, there's a gemilas chesed, we'll give you an interest-free loan, and then you could pay us back later. So Rav Yaakov got up and said, no, he gets into, I'm not getting into the whole halachic discourse that you only have to spend, there's a certain amount of money you have to spend up to 20%, or else you're exempt from the mitzvah. He says, no one should take a loan. If you don't have the money, you can't afford it, you can't, it then don't become a Baal Chov if you have no way, you have no idea how you're going to pay back this. Better to live in a house with no mezuzahs than to borrow money and not be able to pay back. So why? Because technically you're putter. If I can't afford a mezuzah, obviously, today we assume, people will lend and it's a different world today. I'm just pointing the yesod. Even Rav Yaakov is following in the footsteps of Avraham Avinu. That, we take a big deal, I'll borrow money. Okay, it's for a mezuzah. The point is, don't confuse something which you're exempt from with something which you're, we're probably not poor enough where we are exempt. I'm saying, but if a person really was poor enough and they couldn't afford them, it's a wild thing, but only Rav Yaakov Kamenetsky could say that. Better to be in a home, he's not saying it's a good thing, but it's better, but if the choice is going into debt, that you don't do. So that's what we learned from Avraham Avinu. You only take on an extra chumrah when you're everything else is taken care of. And to conclude, that's what Avraham as well. Avraham said, I'm not taking the booty, but my people who fought in the war with me, they can have what you give to them what they have, because I'm not going to be a tzaddik at someone else's expense. I'll take on the chumrah of Soni Maton is Yechya. But it's not for me to be strict on someone else. And that's Avraham Avinu, whether it's sending someone else to, if he was going to the well, he would have brought back 6 gallons of water. But if I'm not going to the well, whatever the minimum amount of water is needed, whatever minimum amount of water you need to wash and teal Shadayim, that's what I'm going to get. I'm not going to go with the chumrah where you got to wash your hands 6 times and put on a that you have to know a chumrah. You got to know what halach is, and you got to know what bench lekaik is. You don't take on. So therefore, he said, "Yukach no ma'at mayim." I'm not doing it, so I'm going to do the minimum. But if I'm going to do it, have all the ribs in the world. And so thing with the booty. I'm not taking it, but that's my stringency. You're entitled to it. That's the way. If you win a war, you're entitled to get it. Please give my men what they deserve, but I'm not taking it. And that's the yesod. And that's why Avram as well taught us derech eretz. You pay back, you don't go on to chumras of not taking money if you owe people money. And that's what they say. You follow Avram Avinu around and you learn how to become a mensch. There are many more lessons to continue. It's packed full, but those are some of the lessons we learn from Avraham Avinu to incorporate into our own everyday life. That's why it's a Torah Chaim. It's not a history book. It's a way of life. Henry, you have a question? Or?
I just wanted to thank you. That was really good. That was very interesting.
Thank you, see? So for now on I'll give the shiur in here. It seems to be a much, besides learning in the Beis HaMedrash is always good anyway, but it's a much better connection, and therefore the learning is not, it's very frustrating when every other word gets cut out and you can't hear what, I'm talking from being a recipient, so I can, I feel the pain of others. It's very frustrating. Like you'd rather just shut it off. Yeah.
Yes. Thank you. All right. Good night.
Have a good night. Have a good Erev Shabbos, and I will. If I don't see you, have a good Shabbos, and if not, we'll see you Sunday morning, 10:15. Okay.
Thank you.
I think keep okay.